Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
All right, I feel like I've become old and geriatric, and I shouldn't be allowed to drive my own car anymore. But my kids left the keys on the table, and so now I'm taking her for a spin.
And Justin Robert Young,
I feel like I'm going to call the police on Brian for driving his own car.
For those of you guys who don't know, Bryce is busy doing an edit for Scam School because we're late. We're like a skipped period.
Yeah, but they're pregnant with an episode, so that's the good news.
Yes, it's three-headed baby.
Yes. So, gentlemen, we did not talk Sunday because you all were at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And,
it was a great time. Thank you to all the Weird Things fans who said hello.
Yes. Thank you to the people who said hello to Justin. In the meanwhile, we had, our favorite topic here, other than goblins, singularity, and pro-con space elevator, is, of course, SpaceX, which I'm wearing a shirt right now.
SpaceX success stories. This time we more good news, right?
More good news, folks. The good news is that in space, you want to get a lot of data. You want to experiment. You want to find out what would happen under certain situations. And SpaceX got another data point. They got another data point.
All right.
If you don't know what that point is.
Okay. I heard, before I saw the pictures, I heard that there was an explosion. No, wait, it wasn't an explosion. It was a fast fire. And then I loaded up the picture of what was clearly an explosion. In no universe could I call that a fast fire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to parse that or what was said in the moment or whatever, because I don't... Yeah, the thing blew off.
Listen, you try communicating a real-time tweet in calligraphy to a raven from your yurt at Burning Man. Sometimes there's just a little bit of communication breakdown, and that's where things might have got screwed up.
No, I think to the point, you watch the video, you see a fire, and then you see an explosion. And I guess I'm not an engineer. I'm not an aerospace, astronautical rocketry guy, but looks like fire, then something went boom. We don't know the cause. We don't know anything. We don't know anything other than what we saw.
Sure. It's just funny from the mouth of Elon Musk, who is normally pretty good about just owning, I don't even want to call them failures, but owning data points like this. Like, he's like, yeah, no, we learned successfully how not to fly another rocket. It's just weird to get an equivocation like that from him.
He has been, especially with Tesla and SpaceX, he has been very particular about pushing back on certain terms. And I think if one thing that he has repeatedly done is be, I think in his mind, clarifying, and in the eyes of some.
What was the state? I mean, I'm still trying to find what I've heard secondhand. He said this. I haven't found the actual statement. What happened?
It was a tweet.
I haven't found the tweet. I found a tweet about, you know, there's something going wrong with the operation, but was it deleted since then? Or
I know I saw it when he posted it. But we can all look for the tweet now.
I'm searching Elon Musk fast fire. Here we go. CNBC has an article that says Elon Musk says rocket did not explode, but instead experienced a, quote, fast fire. And then it says here, probably you're missing it because it looks like an at reply. He says, yes, seems instant from a human perspective, but really is a fast fire, not an explosion.
Well, again, I mean, I don't know enough to know the difference in that. And so I'm not going to take that apart.
Sure.
Like, it blew up. They didn't want that to happen. And I think that as they're looking in the middle of it, you know, there's all of a sudden there's a thing ignites. I don't know the difference. Point is, it blew up. They don't want that to happen. We're still trying to figure out what happened. And then now is all the armchair quarterbacking of, you know, God, I don't want to name the guy. He's my third favorite space columnist. My favorite being Emily Calandrelli, who writes for TechCrunch, who just does spot on, fantastic.
She was great. She appeared on the live stream when you went out to see the live launch, right?
Yeah, and so now she does stuff for TechCrunch. She does a great job of it, and I think Lauren Gush is another great example. There's another person who's like, hey, maybe it's time for SpaceX to, like, slow down or do this. Like, maybe, but I don't know. Like, you know, when you're still cleaning debris up a launch pad, we don't know what happened. Maybe it's not the time to be like, I think you guys are really going about this the wrong way.
Hey, by the way, there is a little bit of context. That tweet, Elon Musk was replying to someone who was asking, would the Dragon escape pod have survived this event? So he's saying in that context, yes, and that I do understand the difference between an explosion and a fast fire. Like, that was fast enough, or it was slow enough that the escape would have been fine. So that makes a lot more sense.
And there's a video that somebody uploaded where they compared the test of the Dragon version 2 launch system with the speed time with the explosion in real time, and showed you, like, the moment that thing would get triggered, how that thing would have, you know, that's why Elon was confidently saying, oh, they would have survived or whatever. Like, we hope so. Like, I guess the way the Saturn escape system worked is they had three wires going along the body of the rocket. And if two of those wires got snapped, which probably meant an explosion,
yep,
the whole thing would eject.
Wow.
Huh. So, well, I mean, listen, there is always going to be more scrutiny on SpaceX because SpaceX is doing things that have never been done before. Right. And so it is a natural talking point for some people to say, well, should they be done? Should they be done differently? Because there's not a lot of best practices beyond what they've done and their plan that they've laid out. There's just always going to be a lot of second guessing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sad, you know, among the payload was Facebook's first satellite that wound up getting lost, obviously, in the explosion. And, you know, I don't know exactly how much there is to this beyond this seems like, you know, it's obviously something that they would not like to happen, and they hope happens as little as possible, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be, you know, they've had almost 12 months apart, you know, a rocket explode, you know, which is, that means like, yeah, like that's not according to plan. It's hard to compare them to anything else, because nobody else is trying to develop this ambitious of a platform and this thing. What is the price? What is the cost on that? And like, I'm all for, like, listen, let's find out what happened and then we can, like, take apart the thing. But it's that, you know, the calm is kind of immediately, hey, they're doing, like, well, maybe, but, you know, let's find out. You know, it's frustrating because, like, you know, we're hoping the end of this month to hear announcements about the Mars architecture.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I would imagine this has significant impact on the odds, or how soon we're going to see a capsule with a crew in it taken off.
Yeah, they were supposed to do, NASA was supposed to do an update about that, and that got postponed because, you know, it has a ripple effect on everything, and it might be the most, quote, mundane thing where it's something in the arm, the strong back that supports it, has nothing to do with the rocket. And it's like, oh, there's this minor glitch that could have happened anything, or it could be serious. So, you know, we don't know. And, you know, it's frustrating, but we look forward to seeing what's going to happen. Reddit's had some really good commentary on it. If you go to reddit.com/r/SpaceX, I would say it's a really good example of how the self-moderate mod systems and all that can work really well. We are getting good expert opinion to the top, and crazy balls, it was a drone strike or whatever kind of stuff, not getting coverage. And, you know, quickly people get corrected when they say things that don't quite make sense. And I would say it's a pretty, like, hey, is this a problem? Is this not a problem? What's going on? And they're also very like, let's not get overboard on speculation until we have more data.
We're not that great, though. We love to speculate.
I think that there are a few things that we can clearly kind of say that this is something that is different than some of the explosions that they had, obviously, when they were trying to re-land the rocket, right? I mean, like, those were things that had never really been done on that kind of level before. This is something that is, if this happens again within the next, you know, 6 months to a year, I think that is something that that is a troubling repeating occurrence, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and it might be again. There might be an investigation in this that realizes there might be some fundamental issue that affected last year's rocket and this within design process or whatever. There might be these fundamental. Hey, we need to do things differently or whatever kind of thing. Could well be the case. Have to figure that out. And I want to clarify, Brian, you're absolutely, I mean, we're not, we will punt it on stuff, but I'm a cruise ship magician. And that was made very, very apparent last week when I conflated the diphoton effect and the discovery of the Higgs boson last week,
let's eat a little crow here. And by the way, I thought you had a very classy response and I thought it was a classy questioning of us on that email.
A lot of class involved.
Yeah. Yeah, last episode we talked about there was evidence. CERN had evidence of what they called a diphoton, inference, which basically implied that there might be other particles and things going on outside the standard model, which has been an exciting area of research. Like, what's beyond the Higgs boson? I had said that they'd found out that the Higgs boson had been the evidence for that had fallen through, which is. I will tell you in my head is not what I meant, but that is what I said, and I will own up to that is what I said. I'm a cruise ship magician, folks, okay? And I'll remind that. And we've had several readers point that out, and our listeners, you guys are absolutely, absolutely right. That is fully, fully on me. I clearly said one thing that was totally not true. Higgs boson safe. It's safe. It's totally safe. It's totally safe, okay?
Yeah, the diphoton discovery that has shown
relevant. Was that there's the standard model is sort of this idea of how we things work, and we've been pretty good at confirming that, like, yep, this is true. Then there's this like, okay, and now these large particle colliders, the high energy colliders, could provide, maybe we'll be able to go beyond, and that has not fallen, that's not happened. There's been some criticism, like, we're spending a lot of money for that could go elsewhere, whatever. And so anyhow, and I got a very, very polite response from a physics student or physics master's degree student explaining to me, one, I was wrong, absolutely correct, and two, case for it. But again, it comes to ultimately, I want to know these things, but I also want to know human origins. Also want to know, more about protein folding and DNA research.
Thank you, Tom, from University of Minnesota at Duluth.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, very polite, very, very polite. And it was, and then you get
very
that like
patient too. He struck a very patient tone. It was something to see.
It was, and reminded of your favorite thing of Murray Gell-Mann and Michael Crichton talking about how they read the newspaper and each one like speaks, Murray Gell-Mann's like, this physics is wrong. And Crichton's like, this entertainment section's wrong. And they're like, what else is wrong? So yeah, this was a wake up call to our physicist leaning listeners.
Yeah, that the odds are we're as correct on everything else as we were on that.
Yes. Yes.
Just about, including goblin husbandry.
Yeah. Oh, did somebody say goblin?
I felt the goblin shiver. I got a gobble. Yeah, I got a goblin gobble.
Cannot rule that out of the SpaceX blow up too. Like, let's just be clear. We're keeping everything on the table.
Yeah, why is Elon Musk curiously quiet on goblins? I haven't heard him discount the idea once.
Oh, this was somebody sent me a creepy robot goblin stripper will haunt your dreams.
Go on.
I'm gonna forward this to you, Brian.
All right.
Because I have not watched this yet. I just saw a screen cap in that headline. This is from Ed Godboy. May not be pronounced your name right. I apologize. I sent that to you.
So we're talking about something that's not Gremlins 2.
Creepy. All right. Yeah. The title is Creepy Robot Goblin Stripper, which will haunt your dreams. And I believe you could just search for those words. And oh, here we go. It comes up with Jordan Wolfson 14 Rooms. This was published a couple years ago, but it's just an out of context video. I'll tell you what, Justin, you want to break this down for the fine folks so we can.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, wow. I think I've seen this before, but let's go. I'll break it down here for you guys.
And
what you are hearing is the Lady Gaga song. What you are seeing is from this angle, a sexily dressed humanoid android lady dancing into a mirror, what I would suspect that you could see at a different angle is the pole going in to the wall, right?
Yeah, it looks... the motions are eerily... the tracking erotic. Is amazing. It's got Uncanny Valley written all over it, because normally when you see animatronics or robots do moves, they're oftentimes, you know, pneumatic pulses. They're all herky-jerky. They move more robotic, but this one is really good, and it's
very
disturbing.
Smooth. A lot of points of articulation as... You know, she definitely, I'll tell you what, wouldn't be shocked to see her at Pure Platinum down at Miami Beach.
Sorry, what was that, Andrew?
It's a fembot where the upper part of the face is like a witch or a goblin mask. It's a Jordan Wolfson. I believe he's the one who does part of his art installation.
Man, that is extraordinarily terrifying to look at. It's actually, and it's how good it is that makes it disturbing, because it's like, it brings to mind Ex Machina. Like, you know, you see sexy body parts followed by robot parts, and it's like, my body's and brain.
Oh, so there we go. Yeah,
do not approve.
But it's actually very, very well disguised. The white pole that actually secures it to the wall is the same tone as the dress, and as you get closer, you notice that not only is the skin a little bruised and dirty, but also so is the dress, and that is definitely a very weird goblin mask.
Yeah.
That's disturbing. It's strangely attractive.
Oh, wow. And also, yeah, all the fingers...
articulate, right?
Are, yeah, fully articulated.
Yeah. Listen, guys, I hate to interrupt this, but yowie...
Wait, are you talking about the so-called Australian Sasquatch?
Well, the yowie, yes. Apparently there's been a yowie sighting, a 7-foot yowie seen near Toowoomba.
Seven-foot yowie. Okay, wait. All right, so wait. What? Describe the yowie for me again, Andrew.
Well, from the article, it was probably around 7 feet tall. It had a head like a gorilla and long arms. I couldn't see them from the waist down, but it was walking through long grass, says a woman who said she spotted it. So she said that she was going through the Darling Downs Mountain. I love Australian names for things. It's just adorable. The Darling Downs Mountain Range is near Toowoomba, and she spotted this. So listen, we've got a yowie sighting, folks.
So have we seen like police sketches side by side of? I would love to see a breakdown whether or not yowie, Sasquatch, Yeti, whether or not any of those are real. I would love an anthropologist to investigate the cultural differences as they manifest in their ape-like boogeymen. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see a police sketch of a yaoi versus whatever the Chinese equivalent of it is.
Oh, wait a minute. That's... All right. If there is a police sketch artist who listens to this show, or you know somebody who is a police sketch artist, we need to get in touch with you immediately, because we want to just feed you goblin and cryptid sightings to see what gets drawn.
That would be amazing.
Okay. If we can find somebody to do it, we can make the price right, and that can be a new Patreon level, is that you get police sketches of cryptids.
Gosh.
We can figure that out. That's great. So wait, this is 7 feet tall, got gorilla arms, just wandering around.
Minding its own business, man.
No rules, just right.
Man, I wonder how. Yeah, let me look up classic descriptions of yaoi.
Classical descriptions of yaois.
Yeah,
in the 18th, I just go yaoi then image search.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it says describe.
We got a side by side of yaoi and Bigfoot. If you type in yaoi in image search, you get a side by side of yaoi and Bigfoot.
Oh, now we're talking. So I'm going to images.google.com. Oh, there we go. Yeah, according to this this one interpretation, Bigfoot, a lot more stocky, ape-like. Yeah. Yowie's got these long, gangly arms.
I mean, a little bit more D's in the arms, though, right? You know, that Yowie's been to Gainesville. He's got his pump on. He's jacked.
And it's, like, more orangutan-like in color.
Yeah, more reddish. Yowie looks more like an end boss. Bigfoot looks like a foot soldier.
Yeah. No, I also, if I were to be doing a stand-up routine, I'd be going, Bigfoot's walk like this. I'm Bigfoot. Excuse me, please. Yowie's walk like this. Get out of here. I'm a Yowie.
I'm from Australia. I eat fistfuls of fire ants. My eyes
also
are made
bit,
of snakes.
A bit more of a ginger, the Yowie.
Yeah. That it is. Do you think, what's the Yowie accent? Does he have the Aussie? Maybe the Bigfoot, he sounds a little more, maybe like he's from the hills in the south, right? Or maybe Pacific Northwest, he's probably a dope smoking hippie. So yeah. He's just all like, oh man, I just love that it rains all the time up here near Seattle. It's really, weed's legal here. I'm Bigfoot.
That pretty much would be how I would imagine it, yeah. And then the Yowie would be more like,
hey, good day. I crush your skull.
Hey, man, why do you want to play hacky sack? Why don't you just chill out, man?
You want to go to the Sydney Opera House?
Hey, is it true that Yowies have pouches?
Is it true? Sure.
So a thing to think about is that we know that there was a Gigantopithecus blackie, which was probably one of the largest apes that we know of that ever existed, that kind of like a Mighty Joe Young sized, lived at least 100,000 years ago, but probably could have smaller groups and whatever could have existed much, much later on into human history. And, you know, as we said before, my favorite quote about chimpanzee fossils is there's not a whole lot of chimpanzee fossil record. And if they'd went extinct, you know, 300 years ago, we would have reason to be even wondering, you know, did they ever even exist?
Oh, wow. So that would have been like the ultimate cryptid, right? Is that like there might have been some descriptions or whatever, but we would just have never have been able
Well, to- think about this. Do you know how long Aborigines have been living in Australia?
No. For 10,000 years? For how long?
50.
50,000 years? Holy cow.
Years. It's like 50,000 years ago. Is like that's how, well, that's, I believe that's the how far back it goes. And so that's incredible. We think back how far back those migrations went. They split off about 65 to 75,000 years ago, and they made their way, they found like Lake Mungo in Australia. They found human remains in 45,000 years ago.
Hey, speaking of fossils, I saw today a unique, special, first of its kind fossil. Did you guys run across this? It made it the front page of Reddit. We can play a little 20 questions here. It's a fossil. 48 million years ago, this situation happened and became fossilized. It is the first of its kind ever with vertebrates. That's your opening clue.
Are they doing it?
No, no, it's a good guess. It's a very, very good guess. But no, no, they're not doing it. Although I wonder, do you think there are fossils of mid-coitus?
Big smiles on their faces. That was, I think, like a Far Side or something. Was it Perry Bible Fellowship cartoon of like,
yes,
you know, the two different dinosaurs, like nobody will ever know, and they get fossilized at the museum.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't know, Brian. What was it?
Come on, ask. You guys could get there. I bet you could figure it out. We'll play a quick round of 20 questions.
I mean, one eating another?
You know what? That's close enough. I'll say yes. There was eating happening.
Is it a snake eating its own tail?
Ooh, it is a snake. It is a snake.
Is it a snake eating another snake's tail?
Not a bad guess. It's not another snake.
Is it a snake eating something else?
It is a snake that ate something else. In this case, it's
a baby.
It's a lizard. But there's something, I'm sure there have been fossils of snakes that have eaten lizards before. This is a first of its kind.
This is a snake that was eating a dinosaur?
No, you ready? The headline is,
yeah,
48 million years ago, a snake ate a lizard with a bug in its belly, all three fossilized, capturing an entire food chain in a single fossil.
It's the turducken of fossils.
Yes. And it's a pretty extraordinary photo. If I'm pretty sure I'm seeing it right, it looks, you can see kind of a bulge in the belly where you can see the shape of what I assume the lizard is, if I'm seeing it right. And in there, they were able to get the detail of an individual bug eaten by a lizard, swallowed by a snake. So now all I have to do is break into this lab and eat the fossil. And then take an x-ray of me, and we'll have real history.
Exactly. And now we've taken it to a radical new level.
That's amazing. Oh, wait, guys. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Do I even bring this up? Maybe we need to do this as a public service announcement.
Uh-oh. What's up?
You know what? I think you should all listen to it after we remind you that patreon.com/weirdthings is where you can support this very show. Head on over there right now. We make sure that we do this show, whether it's easy, whether it's late, whether it's hard. We're making sure that we get this thing out to you each and every single week. So go ahead and kick us a little coin if you get the chance. Do it at patreon.com/weirdthings. We are only 6 patrons away from being at the amazing level of 420 patrons.
Yeah, by the way, that's allegedly, Yowie's not a fan, but Bigfoot really wants us to get up
Bigfoot
to 420.
Bigfoot really needs 6 more patrons. YOLO swag.
All right, time to play real urban legend or too freaky just to assume that it's real anyways.
Hold on. This is a hell of a title. The choices are it's either a real urban legend or it's real too freaky just to assume it's real anyways.
Real, comma, urban legend.
God, see, this is that Oxford comma situation.
So okay, either, so wait, hold on. What is it? It's real, not real, or real, but it's an urban legend, so it's probably real anyway.
Real, not real, or hey, we'll assume this is not real, but listen, let's not take any chances.
Okay, all right. So real, not real, and better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
All right, ready.
Let's go. I'm in.
In no particular order, give you some of the words from the headlines. Clown.
Real.
Yeah.
Second. Sighting. Creepy.
Second sighting of a creepy clown?
Clown sightings expand to second South Carolina city.
Creepy.
I'm actually out on this one.
Oh, because you've already read about this? Mm-hmm. You've got that coy look that says maybe you are the creepy clown that's getting spotted around South Carolina.
No, man, you want to try me? I was just in the American Southeast.
Yeah. So I hear. What's creepy about the clown? Is it just a dude who's dressed? I mean, first of all, is there anybody who dresses at a clown who's not at a kid's party, and possibly even those who are at a kid's party, that doesn't get labeled as creepy in the headlines?
Brian, I think you're right. I think everybody has a God-given right to dress up as a clown, go wherever you want, stand on the edge of a forest, lure children into the forest. It's free country, Brian. Free country.
Wait, what about consenting adults? Can you lead? Can a guy just dress as a clown and lead consenting adults into the forest without being called creepy?
Police say they're doing extra patrols in a Winston-Salem neighborhood after two children reported seeing a clown trying to lure kids into the woods with treats. Let me tell you what, this IT pre-marketing campaign is amazing.
It is lit, boy. So, you know, this is a thing. There's apparently been multiple sightings in and around the same general region, but two different wooded areas where clowns are trying to lure kids into the woods.
Oh, I'm just heads up. This is lighting all kinds of alarm fires in the back of my mind. This sounds like Satanic Panic 1982. Like, do we have any evidence that this actually happened? Or is this a case where one kid tells a story and all of a sudden all the kids are piping in?
Well, that's why we're playing the game. Real, not real, or better safe than sorry.
Okay, better safe than sorry is out. Because we did better safe than sorry during Satanic Panic, and like innocent people went to jail over that. So
no one would get jailed unless you're planning on creating a clown internment camp.
I mean, first of all, that might be fine just in and of itself. But I unless there's pictures of it, I think this might be just kids literally talking out of school.
Like kids. Some kid says, I heard there was a clown luring people. Like, oh, yeah, well, we should tell somebody. Who did it? Well, I saw it. That kind of like, let me conflate the chain of experience to myself so that you'll believe me more kind of thing, which is kind of the root of just about every one of those. Oh, yeah, I saw it. Well, did you see it or did your friend see it? Well, my friend saw it. Well, that's a difference.
That's the trick is that when somebody says, what they want to communicate is, I believe it's real. But the only way for me to infect you with that belief is to make that what seems like a minor jump. Like, I already know it's real. So what does it matter if it's me that saw it or not me that saw it? You know, I believe it's there. And now you're going to believe it's there because I'm going to say I saw it. That seems like the step that brings us there.
Ryan, what if I were to tell you that in Wisconsin, there are reports that late at night, a disheveled clown is walking through Green Bay with four perfectly inflated black balloons. Not talking to anybody, just walking through the streets with four black balloons in a disheveled clown outfit.
I mean, that seems like an art project. We're in Wisconsin.
Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, if you said Madison, I would have said it was an art project.
What would you say if I said I couldn't have been the only person that actually tried to Google the gathering of the Juggaloos to see when that was?
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that angle.
So wait, hold on. So, do you believe it or not believe it? Somebody tells you that there's a clown that wanders around Green Bay with black balloons.
I would believe that. I would believe it's some form of art project.
Well, that one's true, and there are photographs of him. His name, apparently, by the locals, is Gags. And, man, if I were walking down the street late at night and I saw Gags making his way toward me, I would cross the street. He is a weird specter.
Yeah, dude. I'm taking a look at that right now. That is
nothing weird there.
Horrifying. Yeah, that's right on, Gags.
What is it? Is it the fact that children are in danger that puts up the red light in the back of your head on the clowns luring kids into the forest?
It seems like if somebody's trying to lure kids, number one, probably
are
clowns.
You pro or con, Brian? Make that clear.
It just seems like so. Such the obvious leap that I don't think anyone would. It seemed like a giant advertisement to get arrested immediately to take that step of doing the almost cartoonish stereotype of looking like Stephen King's It.
Yeah, but you know, we take three things which should be totally fine. Dressing up a clown, fine, weird, but fine. Giving out candy, we're about to do that next month. It's a thing we do. Mm-hmm. Telling people to enjoy nature, the woods, you know, go out, see nature. You put those three things together and now you're a criminal, Brian.
I mean, specifically, I'm accusing him of being imaginary. But yeah, I guess that would probably disturb a lot of parents.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, part of me is, I'm with you, Brian, in that it seems like something that is conflated, right? Like, on some level, the story that is being said might not be what is actually happening.
Right.
Even if somebody is trying to lure kids into the woods, right?
Right.
Because it's not like, sure, stranger danger is something that is probably overweighted in our psyche, but it's not like it never has happened in the history of civilization, right?
All I'm going to say is if 16-year-old Andrew was hearing these stories and seeing how freaked out people were by them, 16-year-old Andrew and his friends probably going to the costume shop right now to get clown costumes and to up it, you know, to do like get white balloons and draw like faces with like dead eyes and stuff on them.
I mean, that seems like the smarter thing to do because like that, at least no hunter will think it's a good idea to shoot a clown and take it home as a trophy. Whereas like plain dress up,
maybe this one
as, I mean, like that seems like the safer thing to skirt than dressing up as a Yowie or a Sasquatch.
Yeah. And I would be like, I would get one of my friends, we'd stage him by the side of a road where cars go by and then have them hide. And then like 5 miles down the road, have another person dressed exactly the same, just walk across the road and just,
You know what I'd love to do is drive just unbelievable. I'm sure I talked about this at some point on the show. One of the weirdest moments I ever had out on the road was driving across eastern Oregon, northern Utah. And you know how, like first of all, that landscape looks positively alien out there in the desert. Mm. And it must have been, 30 or 40 minutes since we'd last seen a city. And we drove down the street going the opposite direction was a dude pedaling on a bicycle. And this wasn't like a fancy road bike. This was like just a BMX bike. With what appeared to be kind of a steampunky hippie getup and the biggest ass-eating grin I'd ever seen on a person, just wide-eyed and happy as could be, pedaling. And I was like, what did I say? And it was the remoteness that made it so curious, which makes me think it might be fun to like dress as like a velociraptor or something and in an alien costume and just go literally drive an hour out to the middle of nowhere in the middle of the day, the heat, and just start like sketching out some kind of fist fight just to see if anybody calls it in or says anything or reports anything or if the guy even stops. Because how do you describe that?
You know, Brian, you're onto something there. I think one, Weird Things needs its own cryptid mascot, like something that actually is real, but is so obscure.
Yeah.
I think we need to maybe say some nominations for what should our cryptid mascot be, and maybe we see if we can find other sightings of that. You know, like how sometimes you've got to increase the available light, like if you have, let's say, an Photoshop, you have a dark image and you add like a layer of like white layer, it actually makes details pop out.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sometimes maybe you need a sighting to trigger people to report other sightings so they can contextualize it.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it seems like once we pick a cryptid, everybody should really be on the lookout for that cryptid.
And maybe we do some adjustments to make sure that people will know and recognize it.
Some enhancements. You want to make sure like those famous photos of what's supposed to be, what's Nessie supposed to be? What kind of sea monster?
Plesiosaur.
Yeah, plesiosaur. Like that iconic diamond-shaped fin appears to be just a lighting artifact that was enhanced into existence. Like when you see the original, not so much looking like the side of a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, just maybe if it's spotted. So that's a thought. Oh, but I have another thought right now. You know what time it is.
What time is it?
Journey quest time.
Huzzah.
Yes.
So
all right, journey quest. When we last left our heroes, Brian was in the basement of an abandoned Dunkin' Donuts. He had been given an offer he couldn't refuse. Either take over a town comprised totally of pregnant women or die, basically, because the patriarch of that town wanted to get the hell out of here. Brian radioed Justin, who I didn't come there, right? I was just talking to him.
No, yeah. In fact, you were hunkered down. You were bunkered up. And you met a guy, a curious character, who hung out with you a little bit, sounded like Brian, but I'm just going to guess that guy left.
I'm still in the battle van with him. Now you don't know that I was in the middle of abandoning you to go onward and westward with my new friend. But I am on the horn with you, and we decide that we are going to stage a we're going to stage a daring escape. I'm going to break you out because we've offered the captor the battle van. But what he doesn't know is we're going to double cross him and get you the hell out of there.
Right. So are we, has Justin arrived yet, Andrew?
So actually this is what's happening. Justin's driving, you're asleep next to him, and then you wake up and you're like, dude, I had the weirdest dream in the world.
Wait, so the last two episodes were all just a dream?
You're like, dude, I had the weirdest dream in the world. I came to this town called Salvation. There was some dude named Steve who said he was part of Diamond Club. And Justin's like, wait, hold up. I see a sign that says Welcome to Salvation 2.
Huh.
And everything happens exactly like it
did
before.
Oh, thank goodness. So it was all preordained. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Hey,
yeah,
Justin. Remember that remember that dream that I had that all this was going to happen?
You're captured. You're in front of Steve now. You're like, dreams, prophecy, it's not real. Yeah, this is very similar, feels the same, blah, blah, blah. Here I am in the Dunkin' Donuts basement.
Right, but also like the dream, I'm on the radio with Justin again plotting my escape.
Exactly, you're back on the radio with Justin.
Right. All right, buddy. Listen, I'm going to tell Steve.
But it's Salvation 2. It's Salvation 2.
Okay. I'm going to tell Steve.
It's Steven. It's at the PH. It's the only two differences.
Okay. Got it. I'm going to tell Steven.
It may not have been cheerleaders. It may have been like Dance Squad.
It's fine.
Could have been Dance Squad.
It's fine.
Could have been Dance Squad. Maybe like 19 instead of 23 of them.
Got it. Justin.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the line with Steven. Here, Steven, talk to Justin so you guys could do the handoff because we're definitely going to give you the battle wagon, buddy.
Hey, Justin, I'm big fan of Brian, and I'm glad you're able to support him on the show. That's great.
Hey, I've heard that things are fantastic with you. I have you got a Dunkin' Donuts there?
We do have a Dunkin' Donuts. We got it working, man. Up and running.
I love Dunkin' Donuts. I could eat Dunkin' Donuts and drink Dunkin' Donuts the rest of my life.
Justin, I'm pretty sure. I mean, Andrew, real quick, I look around. Do I actually see any donuts? Are they still making donuts, or are they just?
No,
like,
they're making donuts. So okay, I would okay, lie about all right, donuts, all right. Brian.
Well, here, how about this?
It's not the full menu. It's like the airport menu. Okay?
It's the airport one.
I'm willing to trade you because you got to get the hell out of here, man. You can take our vehicle. Me and Brian will run that town because, to be honest with you. Listen, we want to genetically diversify that town or else everyone's going to be cross-eyed in 5 years.
That's really a frightening reproduction rate.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm sorry, I butt in. Listen, Justin, I'm sorry, but we're not breeding no five-year-olds.
This is where we're nitpicking?
I mean, okay, well, also, all right, sorry, go back, Steven.
Yeah, listen, this deal is for Bri only. Brian only. This is Bri. Just Bri. I need you to split up.
Do you not want the battle wagon?
No, I want the battle wagon. I get the battle wagon. Brian gets the town, and you get lost.
Wait, I just got to take a walk?
You can come with me in the battle wagon.
So I can come with you?
You just got to keep your mouth shut. That's all.
So, all right, so I'm going to come pick you up in the battle wagon.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
And Bride runs the town.
Just in the meantime, just one thing. Can you just loosen up these knots? They're super tight. And it's like, I want to start getting my hands on all those girls because they're all, you said they're
Whoa. These are pregnant mothers, Brian.
Yeah, they all need massages too. I mean, it's fine. Let me just, I'm not so much digging the cutoff circulation and all that.
Misogyny here, by the way.
It's, what?
You're implying that they want to be touched by you, okay?
I mean, first of all, I'm their king. I mean, okay.
Whoa. Let me tell you what. You know, we've had some nice conferences here. We've had some discussions, and I've really rethought the way that I treat women. And they're gonna want to talk to you. There's gonna be some ground rules laid down.
Okay, all right. I mean, I'm just kind of questioning your authority here. I mean, I thought we had a deal. You get the wagon and I get the town. So it's my town. Tell you what, the wagon's yours. It's already been deeded to you. It's on its way. Justin's delivering. He's going to be a great traveling companion. Snores a bit, but it's fine. In the meantime, let's say you just untie old Bri-Bri.
Yeah, once we get the battle wagon. Once we get the battle wagon, we'll do that.
All right. Now, at this point, I'm ending my transmission.
Yep.
Right? I still got my strange traveler in the battle wagon with me that I met outside of Salvation, or do I not?
He ducked out. He took off running.
All right, so it's just me.
Yeah, his name was Nick Paulo, and he took off running.
All right. So I'm trying to figure out how we pull off this here double cross, because I was counting on the guy in the back that could maybe just hide in the bathroom and then, you know, of the RV and then...
Hey,
and
this
then,
is Steven on the radio. Why are you telling me this?
I said I ended transmission. I said I ended transmission.
Sorry, forgot.
Man, maybe you could... I mean, regardless, I mean, you could maybe just, it's a tough battle wagon. You could maybe just drive in the wall.
Flash forward, you're in the middle of the town. Justin's in the battle wagon, windows rolled up, ready to go. Steven walks forward. Brian's still in ropes.
Is the whole town out, or is it just the three of us?
You see three, but you see people look like snipers on the roof, dressed in, let's say, you know, fashionable sort of mufti,
low cut negligees.
no problem.
All right. Well, I say, hey, Steve, man, we're gonna get right on the road, but before we get out into this apocalyptic wasteland, can you just let me have one donut and a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee? It would just—I mean, who knows the next time we're gonna see one of these things, buddy?
Absolutely. Why don't you come on out of the van and come into the Dunkin' Donuts, and Steve gestures towards you and says, come on out. Just come on out. Come on. There's the Dunkin' Donuts right there. You look, you see a bright-faced girl behind the counter there waving at you. Everybody's waving, smiling.
The snipers are
waving.
Baby hop. I'm all tied up. I'm just sort of hopping a little bit, just a little bit closer. Not so big that anyone would notice, but, you know, just a little hop, hop, hop. Closer to the
How
wagon.
About this? I'm actually going to take care of some stuff here. I'm a real slob, Steve. Like, I got to get this battle wagon cleaned up before you come aboard. Brian knows what I like at Dunkin' Donuts, though. Can you just untie Brian so Brian can go ahead and get what I normally get at Dunkin' Donuts? He can run it right to the car. You hop in the wagon and we're off.
I take three more tiny bunny hops towards the wagon. Like, ever so, like, weeping silently as I'm trying to get farther.
Whoa. That's as far as you go, Bri-Bri. Come back over here.
Okay, boss.
Yeah. Want to hop on over this way, back inside. Some Boston cream are just ready.
All right. So then, what are we doing, Steven? How's this going to go?
As soon as your buddy gives me the van, I untie you. You run the town.
Well, I mean, we didn't. Do we have keys for the van, Justin? Or did we rig up like just a push button start? Or
no, there's keys. There's okay. keys in the van, and I got my hands on them.
Well, I mean, I guess you better give them those.
Well,
keys.
Here we go. No, Steve, Brian's got my Boston cream and my sweet and light Dunkin' Donuts. Why don't you all just come on? Brian's got to grab his crap out of the van anyway.
For crying out loud, would you please untie me? I can't even get over there. I can't grab my stuff.
No, I know. Yeah, you and Steven are going to come on the van. He's going to untie you because he's going to be in the van. You're going to grab your crap. You're going to get the hell out of here. You're going to be the king of the town.
Okay.
A functioning participant of a multi-gendered leadership committee.
There you go. Steve's like, I can't do that. I really, really can't do that. This is Brian Wade here. Goes back over to you, offers you a box of donuts. Is like, hey, try the Boston cream. Winks at you.
Hey, listen, I don't want to come off like a real wiener here, but Brian's stuff stinks, and only he knows where he kept it. So you need to get Brian over here right now. I'm just getting a little hot. I'm really psyched to never be around him again, but I need you to get Brian untied and on this battle wagon right now so I don't got to sniff whatever the hell he's got hidden back there.
Okay, so Steve's like, listen, Brian's really enjoying the Boston cream in the donut shop. You should try the Boston creams too.
All right, at this point, wink. I'm fed up with this. I say, you guys are both idiots who want each other to fall for your transparently obvious schemes. Please, Justin, just pull out a gun and shoot him. Just somebody do something.
But Brian, you're in the donut shop and you're yelling through the window.
Yes, that's exactly. I'm like a frustrated viewer watching the world.
I'm Justin, listen, your buddy's really, really tense there, but you know, try the Boston cream.
I'm gonna leave. I start the car.
I shout, I don't blame you. It's the last the thing you hear.
I don't eat the donuts. No.
Do you take the donuts with you?
No, I say, listen, why would I take the donuts from this guy who's holding my friend hostage, who won't even let what I think to be a fairly, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a tense trade-off, but you know, this is what
before you leave, I'm like, really should try the Boston creams. They've got good fortune. And looking around nervously.
All right.
Hey, Steve, you want to know what? Why don't you eat a Boston cream? How about we have a Boston cream together where you eat five times faster than I do?
I'm like, sure. I like to.
All right. I hop over to the
jelly
box.
Donut here. I like to split it apart first, but maybe inside my van when nobody's watching, and then lick the jelly out.
Wait a minute. All right. Hey, Steve. Why don't you hand me one of them there Boston creams?
I'm glad you asked. Here's Boston cream.
I love Boston creams. I like it best when you eat it slowly and savor it by opening up the Boston cream. Open up the Boston cream. What do I see in the middle of it?
A little note.
What does the note say?
Oh, you go back inside your van and you read it.
Yeah.
Help. I'm a hostage here too. You're going to kill me. Unless I get you out of the van.
Okay. So.
And then I may have a plan. I'll have to put in another donut. Maybe you come up with something better first.
All right. My question, how many notes have I swallowed by this point?
A lot,
right. Because I've just been, I've been hoping that that they're drugged and I'm just wolfing them down.
Okay, oh man, that Boston cream was the best. I want another donut from you, Steve, man. What is, give me another one. Just lay it on me, my man.
Sure, and Steve hands you another donut, and then you open it up, and it says, here's my plan. I'm going to go back into the Dunkin' Donuts, crash into the front of it, and let us into the van, and let's all get out of here.
All right, I spit the donut out into Steve's face and I say, this tastes like garbage. You've defied our trust and our bond. Like, I'm that's it. I'm getting the hell out of here. You and Brian can have each other. You get back in that Dunkin' Donuts and you learn how to make a donut.
At this point,
you suck, Steve.
I've started doing the inchworm. Like, I'm no longer trying to bunny hop. I'm scrunching up and then lengthening the body. Scrunching up, lengthening the body, dragging my face. My face is bleeding a trail as I'm just trying to get down the gravel road to the battle wagon.
I make a big show like, you need to think twice about that. Steve looks nervously around at the snipers. You're going to come to your senses, won't you see? And I look down and see Brian. For God's sake, man, pick him up and drag him back into the Dunkin' Donuts.
As he's dragging me back, I'm blubbering, saying like, just put me on the bike. You don't even have to untie the ropes.
And I whisper, don't worry, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
It's not ever going to be fine.
All right, so I start up the van and I say, screw you, Steve, while I shoot double birds out the window.
You understand, downtown looks exactly like the downtown old city in Universal Studios, like Hill Valley and all that.
Gotcha. So I do, I start to turn. I make the one right around town square, and then I make the other right around town square. And instead of making the left to go out of town, I start to accelerate. I make another right, and I start barreling toward the Dunkin' Donuts. I slam into the Dunkin' Donuts.
And next time on Journey Quest, we'll find out what happens next.
I would like to think that you blasted Dixie on the horn when you did.
No, as I went into the window, I continued to put my middle fingers out the window, and I said, "Screw you, weird matriarchy."
So, gentlemen, do you have any picks?
Yeah, I got a quick and easy one. One of my favorite moments was getting invited during Dragon Con to participate in the live recording of Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. And it occurs to me that, you know, as often happens when you get a new device, you forget to copy over all your podcasts. And so I'm going back and getting started on those again. They do a lot of real good work, those skeptics. They do a guide to the universe.
You want, like, real skepticism and stuff?
Yeah, no. Smart people. Smart, smart people.
Yeah, not they would never about a post-apocalyptic donut shop.
Yeah, they would never announce that the Higgs boson discovery was a lie.
I am going to pick a movie that I saw on the plane on the way back, and I'd seen it before, but I forgot how much I really liked it. Ant-Man. He's a man, but he's also an ant. I mean, obviously, that was a movie that had a lot of a very troubled development period, and it, you know, lost its director and had to change, you know, creative courses fairly late in the process. It was probably about as turbulent as a Marvel movie could get leading up to it. But man, is that a fun movie? It's just so fun, and it's really well made. And for what it is, it just has this like. Even that film that obviously, you know, went through so much has this like confidence about it. Like just visually, it just feels, you know, between the interconnectivity of the other stories, just the little visual things that I noticed having seen it again this time, like the lingering shots of establishing Hank Pym's keychain that has the little mini tank on it. Like there's just so much fun stuff in there, and I really really liked it, and it really made me excited to see, you know, Ant-Man and Wasp, which I guess is in development now with Evangeline Lilly and Homeboy as Ant-Man. So I don't know, I really dug it. Ant-Man, go see it.
I wonder if I'll enjoy it a lot more when it's in a lower stakes environment. There are certain movies that, you know, you get the whole family together, you buy the tickets, you build it up in your mind, you're like, oh, it was all right. But then you catch it again just on a whim and you're like, man, that was so much fun. I'll bet that's how it is for me on that one.
I just watched Civil War, Captain Civil War, and it was such a great to have like our follow up with Ant-Man in there.
Yeah. You know,
great Ant-Man scenes in that, and just a great follow up in that universe. And I'm nervous about Doctor Strange.
Well, let me say something about Doctor Strange. Because I realized something rewatching Ant-Man. That man, Marvel movies love the hero throwing themselves into a portal selflessly that they wind up falling back out of miraculously. I was like, oh, well, this is how they... Spoilers. This is a part of the ending of the Avengers. This is a part of the ending of Doctor Strange, or sorry, about Ant-Man. I'm like, I wonder if they'll ever do it again. And then I remembered that the next Marvel movie we're going to see is about somebody who opens portals and has to learn a lesson about selflessness. So now I'm just curious to see whether or not Doctor Strange at some point in the final 10 minutes, throws himself into a portal that he's not supposed to so he can selflessly prove his worth. I will say this, my opinion on Doctor Strange completely changed seeing the 3D trailer, the 3D IMAX trailer, and I am not a 3D guy. I hate 3D. I only went to go see a 3D movie because it was the only option to see the movie in a very short time frame, but I was blown away by how good Doctor Strange looked in 3D. It made me excited to see it for the first time.
Nice.
Right. You got a pick?
Yes, it's the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast.
Sorry. Sort of sharing an anecdote.
It's Bosa. It's still around.
Leave me alone. My pick is Turn, the AMC show about the Washington, George Washington spy.
Oh, yeah.
Stars, was it Jamie Bell? Really, really good. Very enjoyed it. The first two seasons are up on Netflix, and thought it was a neat approach towards that part of the story of the American Revolution. And again, enjoyed it very much. One of these things where I think they do a good job of showing good and bad characters on both sides of the issue, and so that it's not just a, you know, oh, those rotten British, you know. So I enjoyed that very much. Thought it was very well done. And obviously, they take a tremendous amount of license there. So.
So this is about the George Washington spy ring?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the premise of it. Justin, do you have a pick?
One more thing, folks. I've been conducting an experiment. I'm gathering people from time to time, virtually. And so far, I've had Justin. I've had Brett Runzeville. I've had Bryce. I've had a friend of mine, Jordan Gould. At some point, I hope I can get Brian on board. And that is for the experiment called The Darker Path. And The Darker Path is, you take what we do with, let's say, the scenario here, and a little more structure and spun out to about an hour, 10 minutes in length. And each episode is its own standalone. We've done one. We actually recorded two so far. The first one is up. And if you go to soundcloud.com/AndrewMaine, you can listen to that episode. I brought in a fantastic audio engineer, Ernie Hurtado, who has done an amazing job of adding sound effects and stuff to like give it dimension, etc. So please check it out. Please let me know what you think. Constructive criticism is helpful. We're trying to figure out the format and how this thing should work and how to structure this. So I want to keep doing these and making more of them happen. But so far, the response has been great and very, very helpful. So,
yeah, I really enjoyed doing it, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But I'm pumped to have everybody listen to it and give it a shot. Andrew, you have an email list sign up for it, right? Is there a place
to do it? You go to darkerpath.com, sign up for the email list on that. I'm going to do the first few out of pocket, but eventually to keep bringing in the services of great audio engineering, I'll need to do like some sort of Patreon or something like that to support it. But if you give a listen to it, I think you'll really dig it if you're into that kind of thing. The response has been like 90%, oh my God, I love it. And then like 10%, like one person's like, this is really jarring. And I'm like, well, maybe that won't be for you. And that's fine. It's okay.
Right on.
It's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.